Black Friday shopping, Google's nanny app, and how to get gunned down by Baltimore police. This week on Android App Addicts. Addicts. This is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, whatever else happens to cross our mind. And this is episode 525. I don't know if that's significant, but it just seems like a really cool number, 525. I don't know.
I like it.
Yeah. I am your host, occasionally known as the Sultan of the Soapbox. And joining me are the people you're really here to hear from. The people who if I'm not here, you're like, oh, I'm so glad that guy's gone. The door-to-door geek, Steve McGaughan, and Eric, the manager, Ardini. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, I seriously doubt anybody says that when you're gone, because then they have to hear my opener and it's like, yeah, this is a show. It's about apps for computer phones. You do a great job. And we miss you.
I really wasn't compliment fishing. It was just a little self-deprecating humor, but thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You deserve it though. I wasn't stroking you either.
Every now and then when I catch my wife compliment fishing, I like, you want some? Want some stink bait with that little extra minnow or something?
I flexed the other day. I didn't even know. Is that, you know this term flexing?
Doesn't ring a bell other than yes.
So
a muscle.
It's the new show off is your flexing. Okay. So I was walking through, it was Home Depot, and some dude was like, oh man, I like your shirt. I go, that's my podcast. And my daughter's like, oh, you just flexed hard on that guy. I'm like, what? It was an Android App Addict sweatshirt. I was like, I probably should have said, yeah. I probably should have stole his phone from him and installed it. But
I used the phrase, I'm triggered, the other day, and my 14-year-old was like, you are too old to use that word. Just But the irony was, she started it out with the word, she said, dude, you're too old for that. I'm like, no, you can't use the word dude. That is too old a term for you. That's mine. Yeah. You can't have it. If I can't have triggered, you can't have dude.
I'm glad we've got each other so we can keep up on the lingo of our youngsters. You guys are going to have to keep me updated though, because my kids are getting older. They're not as...
All you got to do is just click on a random YouTube video and you'll hear all the nonsensical youth related lingo that you need.
So speaking of random YouTube videos, you guys ever just use the autoplay with YouTube in the background and just, you know, let it go for hours at a time while you're doing whatever you're doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what kind of stuff does YouTube give you? What does YouTube think about you as a person based on what it shows you?
You know, it doesn't get far enough off the path for me. I want a randomizer button on YouTube, because I want to see what else is out there, because and I even cleared my history and cleared my search history. I want it to forget who I am for a while and just expose me to some other stuff for a while. Make sense?
Yeah. What about you, Dor?
That's dangerous. Now, I'll also say that's dangerous. You want
on YouTube fresh, though?
Dangerous is you have no idea what you're asking for. You know what I mean? That's like
I can always go back to this.
Right. Well, I'll say just it's easy. Create a new Google account, go to YouTube, and just hit play, and then leave autoplay on and just see where it takes you. If you really do want random, when I do it, it always ends up on a multi-hour track of one of two things: Richard Feynman lecture, who's a physicist from back in the day, or a 10-hour looping video of the song Bacon Pancakes.
At least it's not Baby Shark.
No, it's either Bacon Pancakes or it's the Four Non Blondes He-Man 10-hour song.
See, I wouldn't mind starting it. I don't want to see those ads though, and I've got my YouTube Red account stuck with that, and I am a snob when it comes to YouTube ads. That sounds like
a first world problem.
I know it is, and it's such a problem. I won't leave my account because of it.
So I'm not a recreational YouTube viewer. I go to YouTube when I need to know how to do something. So my search history is almost exclusively how-to videos. And so I was working from home earlier this week, and I just turned on the Roku downstairs, casted my phone to it just because I wanted to use the account on my phone, and set it to just autoplay. And for about 11 hours throughout the course of the day, YouTube just went all day long. And it was instructional videos on you know, music theory and how to play guitar and how to fix any GMC truck from like 1970s and beyond, plumbing videos, woodworking, lots of woodworking stuff, a couple of physics lectures. Richard Feynman was in there. A couple of Hillsong worship stuff came up, and then it was just random. But the thing is, every one of them was like, dude, I'm into that. I mean, it knew me so well. Mm. Everything it gave me, I was perfectly interested in, but it was a completely weird and random collection of stuff.
My YouTube channel is corrupted by my kids and my wife. We all use the same YouTube subscription. So, because nobody wants to see commercials now. So, to be honest, to answer your question, it's Ross Creations, a lot of videos from him. Mostly like prank stuff, prank videos. And we're very casual YouTube watchers. We in our house, if we're sitting together as a family, we're watching YouTube 80% of the time. Maybe another 15% is Netflix, and then the other 5% is whatever else. But it's mostly YouTube.
Well, then the two things I'll say, one is me, and that is I will go into holes where I just go through the recommendation engine, and I'll sit there for hours watching Cinemassacre videos, Veritasium videos, Richard Feynman lectures, Crash Course history, all that kind of stuff. But they just announced, basically, they're going to unblock all of the paid-only original content and put it on a free basis. So everyone who didn't see Cobra Kai because it costs money, don't worry, it's coming to the free. But also, right now they have certain movies available to where if you watch them, you'll see the ads. But I'm 99.99% sure if you have YouTube Premium, you do not see any ads. So that's good.
No, I never see an ad.
Right. Well, they have certain movies that are free, like the Lego Movie. Mm. All Thanksgiving Day, you could watch completely free, and it was ad-supported. I was a premium member. I went and I watched it. I turned it on for the kids because, you know, kids here, get away from me. And they didn't see any ads.
Hmm. I don't know if I've seen the Lego Movie. I'm pretty sure I haven't. I'll have to go watch that.
Yeah. I'll say this. I loved the first 80% of the movie. The last 20% made me want to throw something at the TV.
Now, Pete Barini has me interested in a Hallmark movie called The Christmas Card. I'm definitely going to be watching that.
Well, you made me watch today on Vimeo.
Oh, did you like that?
Amazing, amazing stories. The old Steven Spielberg show. Good stuff. And it was a cartoon called The Family Dog. And I don't remember ever seeing it, but the characters looked so familiar. They looked really familiar. And Amy Potts, I think, was the mom's voice, and her voice was perfect for that.
We watched that as a family, as a larger family, you know, grandparents and everything. Every year for Christmas, that's an annual tradition to watch that cartoon. It's kind of about Christmas a little bit.
Very cool. And the other Android-related thing I'll say about YouTube is now if you go into YouTube, click the top right corner. I believe you have to go some. It matters what version you're on. Some versions you just click the top right corner and you'll see dark mode. Mm. Other versions of it, you have to go into the settings and then click dark mode, and then you have a much easier on the eyes YouTube experience. Yeah,
and for all you people gushing about how it's going to save your battery, only if you have an AMOLED display. If you have an LCD display, it makes no difference. Or might actually cost you a little more.
Right. Well, and the battery saving is literally something like 1%. It is so minuscule, you'll have to literally be staring at the phone for 1,000 years to save something.
I try to keep every app on dark mode that I can. I think I might have a couple more options with the Pixel, but it's just for me, it's just for like in bed at night using the phone, so it's not, you know, waking somebody up next to me or anything. A little less brightness. But gotcha. When you talk about battery, though, one thing I've been doing, and I don't know why I didn't do this before, I leave my battery saver on all the time now.
So you don't like to use your phone?
No, I use it fine. I'm normally plugged in. At work, it's plugged in and sits on a dock. So battery saver automatically turns off and on when it's docked. So as soon as I plug it in at work, it's back to normal. As soon as I unplug it and leave, battery saver turns on, and it doesn't really do much to it. You know, I'll miss a couple notifications on certain apps, but I won't miss a phone call or anything like that.
Yeah, it just won't check your email or, you know, do any of the background stuff unless the app actually forces it to. You know, so basically all the reasons you bought a smartphone, you don't have when you put it in battery saving mode, which is why it saves so much battery.
And it turns off your location.
Right.
Right. Well, yeah. GPS is a big consumer of battery. If you have an app constantly pinging GPS, you will definitely notice a severe battery drain.
I had something going on which prompted me to start using that. And I just got another update, so maybe they fixed whatever it was, and I'm not sure what it was. And I was kind of blaming it on that VPN from Project Fi, because it kind of happened about the same time. It started draining the battery awful quick. So I kicked that to the curb, stopped using the VPN, and turned the battery saver mode on. Now, I don't know. Maybe I'll go back to normal and see if it changed anything. It was a major update, though. It reset a lot of things on my phone that I had to, like, normally it's kind of seamless, and other than a restart, you don't see much. But this one seemed like there was a couple extra logins that I wasn't used to after an update.
That's what you want in an OS update, right? You want it to be so incremental you don't notice it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an update. It's not an upgrade. And you know, I always see people obsessively looking at their phone. Is the newest update available? Is the newest update available? If that might have been fine when we were in Android 4.4, but today, updates are supposed to be non-events. That's the purpose of an update, to do them so incrementally that they're not a big thing.
I'm still that way. I'm still checking for. I still want an update because I try to stay on the beta of everything. I love my phone just updated the phone app, and now I got dark mode on the phone. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I'm always wait. I like every update. I think I do.
Yeah, I do like when I notice a screen is tweaked, something's different. Oh, there must have been a update. And I'm the guy who literally still goes into, now I did figure out on the phone, depending on the operating system, you hold down the Google Play app icon and then a menu pops up. From that menu, you can make a shortcut and drag that to the desktop. So now I have right on my home screen a icon to just check what apps need updating, because I do it literally 20 times a day, because that's what I
see,
do.
See, Mark, you're not the norm here, man.
Well, here's the thing. I want the updates to be so butter smooth. I have to be aware of the update and then know to look for the update. I like it when they sneak past me and then I look at it and I'm like, well, that wasn't like that before. And then I got to figure out, when did that update come down? Was that an actual app update, or was that a background core update that we don't see come across our app store kind of thing? And there was, I got to say, there's like three pieces of news this week. The one is Project Fi now available even for iPhones and for a lot, in air quotes, Android devices. I first thought this was really cool. This is really big news. And then I thought, I don't understand why it's so big news, because you're not going to get most of the actual project or the Google Fi features. You're not going to get any of the Google Pixel features. The advantage is now you'd be able to switch from Sprint to T-Mobile, who's merging like in 30 days. So I don't think there's a lot of people out there that would get a lot of benefit from the technology of Google Fi. Price is the only reason I can see people going to it.
I think you're right. And I don't know what a T-Mobile subscription or Verizon subscription costs everybody, but Fi starts at $30.
Yeah, 30 is a good price. Don't get me wrong, 30 is a good price. I believe we pay $50 per device. Right now we have five devices on our plan, because we pay for my father's phone and her father's phone, because
Fi is really nice if you've got Wi-Fi where most of your life happens. If you don't and you like to stream videos and music over mobile data, Fi is probably not as good of a deal.
Well, I mean, put this in the documentation list roughly 16 minutes into this episode. Here's an example of how I'm paranoid. I know about Yasiger, aka the Wi-Fi pineapple. Because I know what that is and how it works and what it can do, I will never leave my Wi-Fi on my phone. And I've witnessed it. I've been at an event where a friend of both of ours put up his Wi-Fi pineapple, and literally people waiting in line went to pull up their phone to show them their barcode that they paid for the event, and he made it so whenever they tried to access their web browser, it went through the portal, and the portal would automatically launch Rick Ashley, Never Gonna Give You Up.
I totally believe you. You know, I do. I don't go those places too much, though.
Right, but like that's like one step away from being exploited. You know what I mean? That's, and so I know what it can do. And yes, it's paranoid, but I can't leave my Wi-Fi on my phone. To be honest, I was uncomfortable leaving my Bluetooth on for the longest time.
Yeah, Bluetooth, yeah, maybe not. Bluetooth's pretty easy to pair now. It used to be a little more secure, I think, back when you had to type in PIN numbers back and forth for the handshake. Now, now that Google's got with their new headphones, I think they got something called like Instant Pair or some kind of super quick pairing or something.
Well, like, they're doing the smart thing. The smart thing is like when you log in with your Google credentials to your phone, it will actually pull down the Wi-Fi creds so you don't have to retype them in. Well, same kind of principle. You Bluetooth pair, and now that Bluetooth trust relationship is passed with your Google account. So if you have multiple devices you want to use any pair of headphones on, kind of thing, or certain headphones on, that pair will live on multiple devices, even though you only paired it to one device.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's nice. Because they're seeing the same Wi-Fi? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. It's because it's stored in the cloud, basically. The actual act of pairing creates a secure key that then gets shared amongst your devices via Google Clouds.
Oh, okay. So they got it. They have the same. Okay. They got the same account attached to them.
Right.
So I had an interesting experience the other day, slightly related to this. I stopped at my new, relatively within the last several months, racetrack gas station down the street, and I pulled out my phone to run the skimmer scanner app before I put my credit card in, and with still 20 inches, maybe a little more, 22 feet from the pump, my Google Pay popped up and said, "You've been authorized," or gave me the option to. So not only was pay at the pump this new thing, but it was a super powerful pay at the pump that I thought was super cool because, I mean, you still have to, you know, authenticate. It's not going to steal from you or anything. I didn't even have to use a credit card or a skimmer scanner. I just paid with my phone, still 20 inches or so from the pump, and just authorized it and went on. I knew that was coming. I knew people are looking to upgrade, that sort of thing, but this is the first time I've had that experience at a gas station. And not only is it really cool, but like if you go to, I use it wherever I can. Walmart, Home Depot, McDonald's, I try to use it wherever I can. And usually I'm like running my phone at various angles over that little thing, trying to find just the right spot. Well, this thing was so powerful that it jumped 2 feet out at me. When that technology comes to the local mini mart, man, that's just going to be amazing. You just kind of wave your phone in the general direction, done.
I can tell I live in the Midwest and you live in a metropolis because I went to Kroger the other day and I got a few things, you know, and I got a couple extra things. Well, I didn't have that much cash on me to buy the extra things. So I'm like, oh, well, I forgot my wallet. So I don't have my debit card. Oh, that's all right. I got Google Pay. Because it automatically, like, Google Pay's popping up. Hey, use your Kroger card. Here it is. Show it to her. Have her scan it. And then I go to hold it. I'm tapping, turn it sideways. Nothing. Like, oh, yeah, that usually doesn't work. Yeah. So, they're like, well, you could try the service desk. They might have a better one up there. Try it there. And yeah, no. So I had to put a bunch of stuff back and just get the necessities, I guess. It saved me money. So it'd be nice, if you just sit in your car, if they could have some kind of robotic arm that opens your gas lid and you don't even have to get out, and maybe your Android Pay just confirms on the dashboard what you want to do and
what grade
you want to select.
That's a thing, a pump. I think it's in Canada, someplace where it's like life-altering to get out of the car.
Yeah. Well, when it's like 30 below, I'm okay with that. Otherwise, I believe it's just a union thing going crazy. DEF CON, I think it was 2 years ago, proof of concept proved that you can actually have that technology work over a mile away with a hyper-focused thing.
Wow.
So it is all about just how much power that you put into that transmitting signal. And it's, of course, cheaper to use lower power things. So most places have lower power things. I love the fact that it works that far away, Mark, because I equate it to when I tried to use it. I was like a 14-year-old boy, first time with a girl, and it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just looking at the guy like, it's supposed to work. I don't know what's going on here. It's supposed to do something. It's not doing anything, but I swear it's supposed to do something. And I just look like an idiot.
Yeah, I was at Walgreens and I tried to use it again. So my rewards card at Walgreens, you hold it up there and it scans it. It's like your phone vibrates, it beeps, and you know, lights flash back and forth or whatever. And then I'm like, well, now I'd like to pay for it. And I just keep holding it there. She's like, she didn't realize that she actually had to hit another button.
Right.
And then it did it. They're like, oh, well, now you know, and now I know. Well, that's pretty neat with phones. Okay.
Yeah, when it works, it's beautiful. But yeah, even in the, you know, the metropolis that is Atlanta, it works 30% of the time in my experience.
There you go. Good. Yeah, that's about my experience too. I don't know, feel so bad.
Yeah, and real quick, the other two pieces of news that I just want to mention is we had two articles make their way through all of the social poison ponds of fear, uncertainty, and doubt, aka FUD. One of them was that these apps have been downloaded 500,000 times. You better check your phone, make sure you don't have them installed.
Just the race cars or whatever?
They were all some sort of really bad driving simulator games. First and foremost, of course, bad things exist. Of course, a comet can hit my house. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. Here's a good rule of thumb. If you listen to our show, download anything we mention and you'll be fine, because never once have any of these articles ever had an app that we have recommended. Now, with that said,
before you go to the next one.
Well, no, I know. Well, here's the thing. They said it had 500,000 installs, yet they could not tell you how many users were actually infected. And here's the reason why. The mischievous SEO, search engine optimization, that goes on all app stores is like this. I develop an app. I don't just put an app into a store and then wag my finger in the air to hope that it gets popular. I then dig into my pocket. I then pay these organizations to start mass downloading my app and give it good reviews. So they say 500,000 downloads. It might have been 100 downloads when it's all said and done, because you have hundreds of thousands of fake downloads from these people just trying to get their apps popular.
That's a good point.
So do not believe these numbers. Secondly, if you notice, they never mentioned you at all what countries these downloads happened in. I guarantee you it wasn't a first world. So do not believe any of these articles about all these bad things going on, because they just don't happen to people. They happen to the Google Play Store itself, but they don't actually get downloaded.
And here's another thing along with that story. I looked at a couple, maybe more than a couple, of the articles that were talking about this story, because I wanted to see, you know, just as you brought up, did I bring any of these to the show, and did I install any of these and play them and see what they were? And I couldn't find a list of the apps. All I saw was little tiny screenshots of the icon for a bunch of apps that I could barely even make out what they were. Nobody had a list of the names of them that I could find, or links or anything to a list of the names. So to this day, I don't know what the name of any one of them was. And that should be, like, first and foremost, if it was a deal, you know.
Well, do you think that's a accident?
It's
no, yeah, that's on purpose.
That's Apple, and then, maybe bringing some news or something. I don't understand why that was not mentioned. Multiple articles didn't have it.
It's much harder to scare people with facts than it is with theory.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, and if you click through and you go to the actual sources, what you then find out is the company that, in air quotes, found this and discovered this is an upstart security company trying to make a name for themselves.
Yeah.
So who is to say that they themselves did not, in fact, upload these applications to the store and then wait a couple days and say, huh, look what we found. We're so damn good. I don't believe it for a second. Now, the second article has much more meat on the bone, and that is Cheetah. I mean, the name of the company is Cheetah. Let's just start with that. You know what I mean? They're just trying to admit to you that they're dishonest.
Cheetah Mobile.
They were basically doing what is essentially clickjacking. They found ways to take credit for installs of other applications on your phone to get kickbacks. Okay. The only app on that list I ever even actually heard of was an app that we did recommend probably 6 years ago called Clean Master. Since then, that app has changed ownership 3 times. And that's one of the fears I have about these apps, is if the ones that get popular but the people can't keep them up, they will sell them as property to somebody who has bad intent. It can always happen. But you have to understand the underlying thing going on here. And I love the fact that the people that I heard complain about it on podcast then immediately cut to an ad for sponsorship. Okay. What the gist of the story that no one grokked that I saw is, what you have to understand is this: all statistical measurements of any activity on the internet are completely fraudulent. And here's the example I'll give. Hypothetically, my name is Brom Tatey, and I'm a quarterback for a CFL team. Okay. And hypothetically, let's just say I cheat every single game, every single play that I can get done. Who benefits from me being found out? Do my teammates benefit if, you know, it is exposed that I'm cheating? Not really. Are the opponents benefit?
No, not really.
No. Are the refs at benefit if I'm exposed? No. Is the stadium at benefit if I'm exposed? No. Is the referees benefited if I'm exposed? No. It's everyone's best interest to just do what makes exciting games and draws people into seats. There's no benefit to exposing fraudulent activity. And every way to gather stats on the internet has incredible ratios of fudgery going on, of manipulation going on, because people like making money from ad revenue. And that's what this is. It was a company that figured out how to not cheat, but how to bend stuff happening on a phone to benefit their bank account. And Google liked it because all they did was drive up ad rates. Facebook loves it because all they did was drive up ad rates. Microsoft loves it. All they did was drive up ad rates. Amazon loved it. Amazon's the next biggest ad revenue generating company in the world. In 2 years, they're going to be the number one ad revenue market. Okay, because when you go to Amazon and do a search for an item, they're going to have now inserted paid result sets up higher. So, you know, to you, the end user, it didn't matter. You would install CleanMaster and it would still not work, just like it hasn't worked for 6 years. There was no detriment to you. There was nothing bad going on your phone. So a cheap company was ripping off a cheap company. You know, it happens. It's the internet.
Yeah, I think we might have brought, I had to have brought their launcher to CM Launcher at some point.
Well, here's the thing. CM changed companies again because it used to be, I believe, CyanogenMod.
Oh,
it's not been CyanogenMod for like 3 years.
Yeah, that's probably what I thought CM stood for at the time, if it wasn't.
Yeah. So good point. I beg people, stop reading all of these articles. They're all complete crap. They're complete crap. How many people have you met in your life that say that their phone got infected? You know, the most worst I've ever seen is unwanted wear getting into the browser and causing pop-ups.
Yeah, it's similar to like a redirect on a Windows machine used to be. I've kind of seen that. Yeah, that's as bad as I've seen it.
Right. And, you know, until the bad guys figure out how to take over your phone and start instantly making money, we have nothing to worry about, because all they care about is making money.
And I was telling you guys before the show that Verizon had one of their time servers messed up on one of the towers here, and they were showing Eastern time when we should be in Central time. So a lot of people traded their phones in to get new phones because of that. They thought things were messed up. And I was just joking. I'm like, well, you guys' phones are hacked. That's the only reason that could happen, you know. And they're like, oh, yeah, we thought about that, too. So that's possible, you know, I guess that a little FUD. I mean, that Verizon, I don't know, they probably sold 100 phones because of people freaking out last week.
I just wanted to make one comment about that. Some of the article spin that I saw when I was reading about that is people talking about how the Google Play Store is not as safe as you think it may be. Because look at all these apps that are hiding out in plain sight. While it is true that not everything in the Google Play Store is perfectly safe, it is also true that they found the problem and they corrected it, and they can proactively remove those apps from your phone. There is a benefit to going through a curated library like the Play Store. And I, even as a professional technologist, I rarely sideload anything for that reason. And just tonight, I don't know if you guys are aware of it, but I travel by interstate a lot, and one of the things you see on the interstate very often is the lottery numbers And right now there are two multi-state lottos that are 180 something million dollars. So when I stopped at that gas station where my NFC worked so beautifully, I also spent $5 on a couple of lottery tickets, and the drawings happened. And I know I didn't win the big jackpot because nobody did. And I thought, you know, rather than looking up the numbers, surely there's an app where I can scan my ticket and see if I won, you know, $3 or whatever. So I went to the Georgia Lottery website, state-run website, and they said, check out our app. And I clicked on the Android link or icon to go there. And instead of being directed to the Android App Store, I was directed to instructions on how to download and sideload an app from the state-run website. And I,
well, it wouldn't shock me if somehow, because money is involved, they would have to give maybe Google percentage of the winning. I don't know. Why would they do such a thing?
Well, the iPhone store was a link straight. I mean, obviously it has to be because there's no sideload option. But it made me cringe that here's a thing that a state-run institution, and, you know, if anybody knows, Door knows that just because a website's run by the state doesn't mean it's reliable. But here's this essentially state-run organization encouraging, giving people instructions on how to make their phones weaker. That was a bad thing.
Hey, I would blame it on some friend of the governor's brother-in-law who does Android apps, got that contract, and it's not good enough to make it into the Play Store.
Well, I mean, I'll just quote the angry video game nerd. What were they thinking? Because, that is really incompetent. My state government where I work, we actually went out of our way to make sure we have apps on actual app stores. And here's the two things that, honestly, Mark, people don't know. I listen to people I consider smart, and they don't understand the two things that happen when you actually stick with the Play Store. One, they can reach into your phone and delete bad software. Yes, they can. And that's a benefit to 90% of the users who don't understand even how the phone works, okay? But two, there are constant, ongoing, never-ending sweeps through the Google Play's backend looking for malicious apps. But here's the problem. They're all heuristic scans.
Heuristic.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That's why I love you so much. Heuristic scans, which means it's basically like a hash checker. All it does is it checks for exact segments of code to be exactly the right. So me as a bad guy, all I got to do is change one bit. Change the F to a capital F. Put an extra space here or put an extra tab there. And it's completely different hash algorithms, which means it won't be caught. There is no such thing as actual intelligent scanning on any mobile platform for actual infections. We don't have it. We're not going to have it. We're never going to have it. So stop expecting perfection out of security on a mobile device.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like your scanner. You know, they all use the same Bluetooth code code base.
Because they're stupid, they're cheap, they're lazy, and they're crooks.
Crooks, by definition, are lazy, because if they weren't lazy, they'd be having a real way to make income.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, look, I'm not stupid. This device is not secure by nature. My phone is not secure by design. It's not supposed to be secure. It's supposed to be an easy, consumable device. But stop believing ads on the internet, people. Stop believing articles on the internet, people, because all they want to do is to get you to click that link. And right. I said it on the Mini PC show. There's proof out there that a thumbs down video on YouTube, for instance, is sometimes weighted more than a thumbs up because you took the time to interact with that video by clicking thumbs down. Same thing with these articles. If you stop clicking the links, they'll stop posting the crappy articles.
My phone is naughty by nature. I got to say, as far as security, so I did some Black Friday shopping and bought some smart switches at Walmart for $10. These are outdoor weatherproof smart switches by Mercury Innovations Genie. I'll put the app in the thing, but there's no real reason to install this app unless you have also went to Walmart and bought this stuff. So for $10 on Black Friday, they had these smart switches, and they also had some LED colorful LED, you know, smart bulbs too that you can control with your phone. So you install this Genie app. At some point during the setup, and the setup was really super simple on one phone. And they also work with a Google Home. So you just you say, okay, Schmoogle. And I've got it hooked up to an electric fan that actually the fan switch is broke. So I always had to unplug it or plug it back in to turn it on and off in my bedroom. And I had it on a timer, but the timer was really noisy because of a mechanical timer. Anyway, I hooked it up to that. So now I can say anywhere in my house or the world, I can say, okay, Schmoogle, turn on the fan. And it will turn that fan on in my bedroom. Well, when you go to install this into a second phone, this Genie app, G-E-E-N-I, it gives you a redirect, not to the Play Store, but to another place. And I don't know why, but the average Walmart consumer who bought this and wanted to set it up on a second phone, and all the phone does is let you control it with that account on OK Schmoogle. And you also get the apps where you can turn it on and off, you know, with a button on your phone. But normal people are going to be installing this other half of the app from someplace who knows where it is. And honestly, Genie, G-E-E-N-I, I don't know if it's secure or not. It probably won't be in 3 years. It's a smart switch hooked to Wi-Fi. But I like playing with fire. So I bought two. Or I bought three, actually.
Many of those, just FYI, are also compatible with the more common, like, smart home apps and things. You might want to check and see if you can also use an app that is a little more vetted.
I was surprised by the amount, you know, when you go into the Google Home app on your phone to connect the two, the amount of companies that are available for the Google Home, I was amazed.
Oh yeah, it went ballistic. I would say the other thing you might want to check out is homeassistant.io. That one is like a centralized hub to where even if it isn't compatible with the Home Assistant might be compatible with that switch, and then the Google Home is compatible with Home Assistant. So there's other ways, even if it isn't, where you can get it, you know, linked.
Never install this app because it's spelled Genie with two E's and Mercury with a K. That right there is enough for me to not ever install this app.
It was $10, man. Well, I'm not going to dock them for spelling when it's half the price of everything else. And I think if this and that has some recipes that does the same thing that you're talking about, Dor.
Yeah. Did you guys hear about the other IoT, to me, IoT news that happened?
I'm sure.
Well, our friendly neighborhood Swedish furniture company, IKEA, they had a dramatic drop in sales last year, like almost 40% worldwide drop in sales. So they're right now trying to make a correction in their course. And one of the things that they did was they teamed up with ShowMe, which is spelled nothing like the word sounds like, ShowMe, X-I-O-M-I-A or something, which is basically the largest one of, it's like the top three mobile phone manufacturers in the world, but they also do smart things around your house. They're going to provide IKEA exclusively with their smart lights. So all smart lighting fixtures in those stores will be from ShowMe. And by default, they are compatible with Apple HomeKit, Google Home, and Amazon Alexa ecosystems. And I'm going to bet in less than a year and a half, ShowMe is going to have a lot more hardware available to a lot more people because they're going to expand past lights quickly, I'm going to guess.
Well, they're already into a lot of things. ShowMe's huge. I mean, they've got electric bicycles and scooters and things like that.
Yeah, they had a sale on their scooter, foldable scooter, down from like $340 down to like 100 and something. And I'm so lazy, I almost bought one just so I could take my scooter from my car to my front door at my job.
But my next big purchase will be an electric bicycle. I mean, either that or I'm going to take the time and modify my 1980s Peugeot mountain bike that I'd ride now into electric. I haven't decided which way yet.
You're going to want to do that route versus buying one. When you buy one, they by law cannot go faster than 20 miles an hour. Once they go faster than 20 miles an hour, there's other regulations that come into play. And then once they go above, I think it is 32 and a half miles an hour, other regulations come into play, where if you just make it yourself, then it's unregulated.
I don't need to go over 20 miles an hour. I basically, all I wanted is for help going up the hills. That's it, honestly. I just want to make it to work without working up a sweat, but on my bike.
That's what she said last night?
If I wouldn't have said, but on my bike, probably that might have been what she said.
So 40 plus minutes in, and the only app we've got is only useful if you happen to buy a certain piece of hardware. Maybe we should bring an app or two. Eric, why don't you start us off?
Okay, I am going to bring an app that was kind of playing off of an app from last episode, but I think it was Ivor. Don't kill me if it wasn't, guys. I think it was Ivor in the Google Plus community said, hey, you brought that knife-throwing app on the phone. Here is the same thing for the smartwatch, or a similar app for the smartwatch. And I installed it. It's called Knife Hit for Smartwatch. And you've kind of, basically, it's kind of like an oblong tree trunk starts spinning on your smartwatch. And you have to tap at the right times to keep it in balance and then keep going. Because if it goes out of balance, it won't spin no more, and then you stop. But if you keep it rotating and keep throwing the knives at it and you get the knives in it, it keeps counting. You try to get as many knives as you can in there without hitting another knife also. And you hit the apples, that's a bonus. It was pretty fun. It's actually, you know, it can kind of take over your smartwatch. If you stop playing, it just sits there and spins. You know, it's kind of neat to walk around with this weird oblong or like non-symmetrical spinner on your watch.
It's spinning.
So if your smartwatch gets far too much battery life and you want to reduce it, here's a perfect opportunity with Knife Hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on Black Friday, I came close. I'm not going to lie. I want to say it was a GearBest page where they literally had 12 or 13 fitness bands and watches listed on sale. Like the Show Me Band.
Mi Band
3. Was like $30. It was like silly cheap. They had smart watches. They had a Lenovo smartwatch that actually looked fine to me. I want to say it was $48 or $50. I came really close. But unfortunately, 2 days earlier, I spent $100 on a Odroid H2 mini computer, Intel base that can go up to 32 gigs of RAM. So yeah.
Oh, nice. I also partook in the Black Friday ads for a mini PC. I ordered a Raspberry Pi B2 Plus. I got it for less than $22. I figured it's got free shipping. I thought it was worth it because I need another one anyway. The one I had is tied up with my 3D printer and, I just need one to mess with, and it's quite a bit nicer than the old original one I was rocking anyway.
If you polish a turd, it's always going to be better than an unpolished turd.
Hey,
and to be honest, the Raspberry Pi is becoming the most non-spectacular mini computer in existence. You could have paid like $10 more and got an Odroid XU4, which is about as powerful as four Raspberry Pis.
And does that run Raspbian and everything the same?
Oh yeah.
The
Raspberry Pi was never intended to be a useful general purpose computer. It's a specific task oriented device for $20.
No, it isn't even that. It's supposed to be a means to lift up third world environments into the modern computing environment. And that's fine, but we're not living in the third world.
Yeah, I mean, it's a task oriented computer on my printer. It work. I love using it there.
I have Raspberry Pis all over the house that do one thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're perfect for that.
And so since we're talking about the holidays, Black Friday, before you bring your app, I'm not going to put a link to this app, but, you know, when you get around a lot of family, sometimes addictions can creep back into your life. And I got to admit to you guys, just you guys, since nobody else is here, I was a backslider. And over the holidays, I did install BBTAN 2 by 222%. It looked new to me. It's been so long, you know, I couldn't remember if I. And then I went in the notes today, and I'm like, oh yeah, I did bring that one before. But
give me your chip, Eric.
I spent a lot of hours on that over the last few days. I was, you know, how I was talking about in the last show, just go over in the corner and just sit there with your phone and not talk to anybody. Totally me. I was over there doing that. It's fun. BBTAN's a fun game. I need to uninstall it as soon as possible. It's not uninstalled yet. All right. Sorry. Go ahead, Dor. You got an app?
I'm still trying to pick myself off the floor for that one. All of our work now just thrown away. I'm going to bring what I consider to be one of the most worthless things ever created for a smart device. And this is by Google. called Digital Wellbeing. It reminds me of a George Carlin sketch from about 82 where he went through a story about how soldiers back in World War I were diagnosed with a condition, and that condition they called shell shock. And then as the time went on with each major war, we kept renaming it from shell shock to battle fatigue. And they kept adding syllables onto it, and they kept adding hyphens to it to try to make it a little bit less abrupt, a little bit less, you know, impactful, and try to dilute what was actually going on. Digital well-being to me is that same kind of thing. There's too many syllables in this app. All this app is trying to do is trying to warn you that you're stupid, you're an idiot, you have no self-control. Here, we're Google, we're here looking out for you, and we're going to help you be a more healthy, more mentally healthy person by showing you just how addicted you are and how little control you have over yourself, and like how much time you spend in your YouTube app every day. If you need this kind of app on your phone, get rid of your phone. Just get rid of the damn thing. You don't actually need a phone, period. If you say you need one for emergency purposes, well, then just get a crappy iPhone and then you'll be fine. But this is the kind of app I firmly believe is they're literally just putting out there trying to cover their butts to try to say, well, look, we tried to get these kids to stop watching YouTube because, you know, the parents out there ain't doing their job kind of thing. This is the kind of app that literally just makes me sad.
You know, Google is very sophisticated about gathering data on its users and knowing what they need essentially before they need it. And this app knows that I am a perfectly healthy, perfectly life-balanced individual because this app is incompatible with all of my devices.
I haven't even looked at this app. I've heard of it. No, I'm with Dor.
I mean,
that's everything against being an app addict, really. I thought I backslid before. This would be... Ugh.
Well, and I'm going to agree with Dennis Leary.
Man, this is comedian night.
It is. Like back in the day, he said, for Christmas, you would get a BB gun. And what the BB gun was, it was a test to see how stupid you are. You know, we don't let kids be as stupid as they want to be. We're helicopter parenting, and we're overprotecting them. And this, to me, is an app form of overparenting, of overprotecting, because you are too stupid to do it yourself. We sometimes need people to crash and burn. We sometimes need somebody to be staring at their phone so long that they fall off the side of the bridge. We need people staring at their phone so long they get hit by a car in an intersection. That's called natural selection. And it made us this far into this world. It gave us all the advancements we have. Let's not ruin it. It's worked for millennia.
Yeah, as long as
millennials won't have any cool scars to talk about.
My wife was never on board with me getting the kids guns like that. They have them now, and my son and I had a fun time knocking all the windows out of the house next door with our slingshots until he launched one over the roof, and we don't know where it landed.
We're all guys in our mid-40s. I suspect most of our listener audience is of a similar ilk. I would wager that 93.4% of everybody listening to my voice right now has been shot by a BB.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I've been hit by a car, and I've had a firecracker go off in my hand.
Yep, done that.
And I've dove and hit my head. Let me think. And I've been in fist fights. Mm-hmm. I've gotten crap beat out of me.
Yep.
My mom hit me with a frying pan. My dad hit me with a belt. Yeah.
That's our generation, man. We took a licking and kept on ticking.
Well, I mean, you know, I fully do appreciate that there are individuals out there that are just flat out too weak. And as far as I'm concerned, then they need somebody close to them to care about them. They don't need an app to care about them because an app can't care about them. They need somebody close to them to say, hey, you think you're spending a little bit too much time on that phone? Instead of having a stupid app pop up in a stupid fake human voice. Hello, George, you have spent 2 and 13 hours on the phone today. You know, I mean,
it doesn't talk to you, does it?
This is the beginning of idiocracy. That's what this is.
Your floor is now clean. I got one of those. I picked up one of those at Black Friday too.
Roomba?
Yeah, this is the second Roomba I've had. But
but why would you do that? They're gonna sell all your information.
Yeah, this one's connected to my Google Home too and my Wi-Fi network. It told me today that it didn't make it back home, couldn't charge itself, and it's stuck somewhere.
I want one of those, but remember the very first time I presented myself to the world, I was called the Taiwan Tech, and I just can't make myself spend $400 on something that I know doesn't work as well as a $99 vacuum.
That's why you should have bought it last Friday.
How much?
I got it for, it was $219, and I got $40 Kohl's card that I can use on anything else I want. So okay, basically,
still too much.
It's not cheap, but honestly, dude, they work.
Which
very
one
well.
Did you get?
That's not
because they, work
good. They haven't changed well, much
which
in
one
8 years.
Did you get? Because they have multiple models.
I got the cheapest one you can possibly get with Wi-Fi.
Yeah, because they have them now where they literally will go back into their dock, they will recharge, and they will empty their
that's
the one cash.
That one is $1,000. I looked at it.
And see, I would need three of them. I have three floors.
You do need three of them then, yes.
No, I won't. I have a kid. The kid can do it.
Emptying a Roomba is totally no problem. It's not a big deal. It's easy to empty.
But I would have to do it twice a day. I have three kids and a dog.
Do you vacuum every day?
If I had a Roomba, I would be emptying it twice a day because the pocket in the thing is only, you know, the size of a credit card.
It only needs to do it. It only needs to clean once a day. You don't have to totally have your, you don't have to eat off your floor ever. So
I'm just saying that it would not make it all the way through one of my fours.
No,
you,
it won't.
You don't understand what my fours look like.
Sure, it won't.
Yeah. And,
it doesn't need to though, every day.
First off, I'll say this. They suck. Okay. They don't actually
work. No, I beg you. I've had them before.
And here's why I know that. I have a $500 Dyson that we went over to a friend's house with a Roomba. We took the Dyson after the Roomba was working all day on the floor, and we had two canisters come off that floor
because
the Dyson is so much.
You can't compare those two things. They're totally different machines.
But you can compare a clean floor and a dirty floor.
Yeah, a visibly clean floor and a visibly dirty floor.
Well.
Yeah, it's better than nothing. It's basically, it's better than... It's a sweeper. It's that's what it is.
It's like a broom.
It's a broom, basically. Yeah. Which is, you know, well, we have a dog, so we need a broom.
And here's the thing: if I had hardwood floors
and
I lived in a ranch house, I would entertain it. I'm not gonna lie.
We have a lot of hardwood floors. We've got the only carpeting we have is one hallway and a rug that's in the middle of our hardwood floor.
I'm just saying we were lied to by the Jetsons. I should have Rosie the robot right now that not only vacuums my floor, but washes my dishes and does the laundry. This is 2018.
Oh, yeah. Flying cars, too.
The advanced robotic cleaner we have is a Roomba. I was lied to.
Yeah. And we have one car shot past Mars, and that's it.
Right, let me read an email. This is sort of the two things I do on this show is tell bad jokes and read emails. And I've already failed at the joke thing, so let's read an email. This comes from Adam. He says, "Hey, Dor, Eric, and Mark. I found an Android game that I'm certain that Eric will enjoy. It's called Absorb. That's spelt with a Z, or as you folks might say, a Z. You use Tilt to fly an asteroids-type spaceship around the screen, trying to suck up all the blue orbs before the time runs out. Your task is made harder by the red orbs, which will steal your time if they get too close. There are other types of orbs that can both help or hinder you. You're given around 45 seconds to complete a level, so this is a good game for the grocery store lines, so perhaps Mark may like it too. Best wishes, Adam, the over-the-pond geek."
I did not install this yet. Sorry, Adam. I didn't do that. I'll buy it. 99 cents. Hey, did you guys get hit up with more surveys recently, or is it just because I actually went outside of my house and started shopping some places?
Yeah, I've gotten like six in the last 2 weeks, which is like a huge increase.
Okay, Adam, I have just purchased it. Wow, what's up with this? Tax? I didn't know they charge tax. Have you ever seen that before, Dor?
Nope.
It's a 99 cent app. It's charging me $1.06. Oh, I'd like to see where that tax money goes to. Hopefully it's coming back to my city. Fix the roads.
Maybe Gerald P. Kelly, the developer, lives in your state.
Nah, I'm pretty sure the money's going to end up going to the Philippines to pay people to cleanse our social networks.
That 7 cents is how much they actually paid the Indian kid to design this.
I've never seen it charge tax before. It's just so odd that a non-physical retail sale like that charges tax, because I don't think I pay tax on my Adobe subscription for Acrobat or anything like that.
Actually looks like a really cool game.
Yeah, it's very clean looking. I'm going to definitely buy it too.
Cool. Adam just made two sales. Hopefully he's getting a kickback on that. Like yeah, we did, like we just got from Menards and Kohl's and everywhere tonight for all of our shout outs. It kind of reminds me of, was it Spore was similar to this? I think it was Spore. I don't know. Not really. Yeah, I'm going to check.
All right.
A lot of good puzzles.
We're up to a whopping 4 apps tonight. Can we make it 5?
Yeah. You brought 2 of them, Mark, kind of.
I know. I'm going to bring this one, though, and I'm going to proceed it with a question. And here's the question. Do we have somebody in our life, because we've all heard about these shootings going on, you know, this person getting shot, this person going over here getting shot. But do you have somebody you know that you want to get shot? Because if you do, I'm going to suggest that you give them this app. Because this app, because this is literally, this is called Hybrid War AR, the shooter in augmented reality. This is trying to be a real physical world laser tag type game where you and friends run around and like pretend shoot each other. And I'm pretty sure if the wrong people sees you, the cops will be called on you. And if you're a person of ethnicity, you might get a bullet in the head. If this was, you know, 15 years ago, this would be awesome. If this was 20 years ago, I think this could be an awesome concept. But in 2018, I'm a little, you know, trigger shy. Pun intended.
Do you have to wear the barcode t-shirt to be able to play the game?
I honestly don't know, but it just... It wouldn't shock me, but everything scared me about this when I saw it.
I don't just get a BB gun and shoot each other with that.
I was a fan of laser tag, so I mean I can see how this might be fun. Do you have to buy the plastic gun that sits on top?
Well, I have a 3D printer, so no. I'm sure you don't.
Well, I bet there's some kind of a Bluetooth or NFC goings on there that registers bullets and hits.
In the video, the kids aren't wearing barcodes, so they're essentially immortal. They use the IDKFQ tag, so they can't be killed. So it's just an attack and not defend
game. Oh, so it's like hide and seek.
Yeah,
it's like last man stand, like a running man.
Yeah, and you can download the barcodes for the game right from the link in the store. Video instructions, kind of thing. I mean, I'll say this. Literally, if I lived in the middle of nowhere and I had 30 acres of land, then I might be comfortable doing this. But otherwise, seriously, I'm a little, you know, trigger shot.
I got a state park forest in my backyard, literally. This would be perfect for that. I got to look into this. This looks like fun, I got to say.
So on my screen, I see 2 reviews, both of which are 1 star, but it says average reviews 4.2. Where does that math work up?
Good point, man.
Well, this is the new math.
Yeah, common core.
This is like common core.
I don't know, I don't know, Mark.
Well,
I don't see it.
Well, here's the easy cop-out answer. Only 2 of the people that left reviews left word reviews. The other people just clicked stars and walked away.
123 total reviews. So 5-star drive-bys and a couple of actual comments.
Looking in the video, it almost looks like the other kids have barcode shirts on too, but they're covered up by their camo. So like they take turns being it.
I don't know, but I mean, let me put it this way. Augmented reality, I believe, is where the money's at. It's not, I don't think it's VR. I'm not sure this is exactly what I mean when I say AR though. I mean, it's close.
And I think just looking at it, just think of it as a phone mounted to a piece of plastic, like you were saying, Dor. I don't see how your camera is going to pick up those barcodes from, you know, 200 meters or something, you know.
They have to be huge. That's one of the guys, it's an adult wearing a giant barcode. That's the only way that it'll work.
But still, even with being an adult, being that big of a barcode, I know my camera. I'm not seeing, I think I like a laser better. I'm going to stick with my laser tag and my 3,000 batteries it takes.
I'm going to call it. This is a crap app, Dor.
I'm not saying it ain't. I'm just saying it's augmented reality. And the instant thing I thought of when I saw this app was if you play this game in public, you might get shot by a cop.
That's why the guns are bright yellow and orange.
Let's play the trivia, the little game we like to play. Who lives in Baltimore?
Ding, 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 ding. Where we had 2 teachers in the last week physically attacked by students where they had to go to the hospital. Yay!
This is what happens when you give everybody a trophy. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, did you see Hasbro put out Monopoly Millennial Edition? yeah, baby, right on the front of the box. Mr. Moneybags, whatever his name is, he actually has like a blue ribbon on his chest and it says participation trophy.
The game literally
isn't about buying property, because the game tells you as a millennial, you'll have no money. You can't afford anything. So when you go to the property, it's like you have to pay in credibility to document the fact that you're the first person to see this and like Instagram it. It is so bad. It is
horrible.
And if I could ever get you to drink alcohol, I would love to drink alcohol with you and play that game, because there's no doubt one of us would end up soiling ourselves from laughing so hard.
Wow.
It is so bad. It is. I mean,
who's going to buy that?
People who make fun of millennials.
I know, but who are they going to give it to? Are they going to keep it for themselves and just drink and play it with their other old graybeards?
That's
a horrible. that's almost a race that you're making fun of there. You know,
I know. And here's the thing: my wife keeps asking me what I want for Christmas, and it's
there,
like,
you go.
I have everything perfect I could possibly want. I'm so tempted to ask her to get it for me, just so I can witness it myself.
I've got two in my house. That would be so mean. I couldn't do it.
Just a quick aside. You talked about Christmas. My wife asked me what I wanted for Christmas. I'm at an age where if I want something, I go get it. So I don't really want much for Christmas. But my bass guitar case was used when I got it 20 years ago. I honestly have no idea how old it is. It's broken. It's held together with duct tape. I said, get me a new bass guitar case. And this was weeks ago. The other day after Black Friday sales, a package appeared on my front step that is 4.5 feet long, 2 feet wide, and about 8 inches deep. And she's like, don't open that. It's a surprise. Okay. Got it. It's that new bracelet I've been wanting.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, without sounding dumb, I don't really need anything, and I don't really want anything. Horizon Chase Turbo, which I brought to this show maybe like a year ago, and I've mentioned on this show at least 5 or 6 times, came out on the Switch yesterday, and I just instantaneously bought it. And when I want something, I'm a man.
What was it? What was it that did?
Horizon Chase Switch.
Oh, I'm probably going to have to. How much was it?
$19. What? And it does have local multiplayer.
Oh, man. Why they got to be like that?
Well, ping it, and then it will be on sale soon enough. Everything goes on sale on the Switch in a matter of sometimes days.
Dude, I paid $65 for Donkey Kong on the Atari 2600. I don't want to hear about how expensive a $20 game is.
Hey, I bought Donkey Kong for the Switch. I didn't pay $20 for it. I think I did pay $10, though.
This was $65, $1978, mind you.
Oh, right. That was back then. Well, it was new. Yeah. It was a new game. No, that makes total sense. The Horizon Chase is a game from the 90s, or looks like it, and it's a $3.99 game all day.
Well, here's the thing. If you play the Android version, the Switch version has more features, a lot more features. It has different play modes, has different rewards, different tracks, many different things going on than the Android game, but it essentially is the same mechanics as the Android
game. Hey, since we're talking Switch, the Pro Controller, yay or nay?
It's a very much of a personal preference. That's like saying big butts or small butts. I mean, it's your personal preference.
That's not even a question.
So do you use a Pro Controller?
No, I hate
the Joy-Cons.
I prefer the Joy-Cons. My son hates the Joy-Cons and loves the Pro Controller.
Okay, all right. So, okay, all right, I see.
And there is a happy medium out there, because the Pro Controller is like $60. Nintendo does have wired controllers that are like $20, $25. I personally like them too.
Well, there's a new Pokemon game on the Switch, so I haven't seen our Switch for quite a while now. But no,
maybe they took it to a pawn shop.
I know where it's at. All right, that's cool. Well, thanks for that answer. That's good. I didn't know if I was missing something without having the Pro Controller, but I kept saying, like you said, the $60. I'm like, I don't know.
All right, Eric, bring us another app.
Sure. Going back to Christmas, back in the day, we all used to get Spirographs for Christmas. This is called Spyro.LittleBigTools by Ninevis Apps Art and Design. And basically, this is one of these trippy psychedelic apps that I just like to bring that makes pretty pictures and colors on your screen. There's not much to it, but it's like Spirograph. Actually, it's not like Spirograph. It's kind of your screen is segmented into like 8 pieces, and whatever you do in one of those pieces traces onto the other ones.
So it's like a kaleidoscope.
Yeah, kind of like that. Sure.
Little Big Tool for designing, powered by Ninvas. Spyro offers a drawing experience for all publics. Best ally for small and great designers. Fractals, patterns, mandalas, everything is possible. Discover your inside artist and share your creations with all the world.
That,
so you can use this app to create life?
And Nelson Mandela's.
Says everything.
It's for small and great designers.
To be honest, if I had like a giant screen and I could like, remember like back in the day, like Winamp, if I could like save a bunch of them and then just display them on like a TV in a loop, that would be cool. I'm a big fan of geometric designs, I'll say, like this, like fractals and stuff like that.
This is right up your alley then.
Winamp, back in the day. Remember you launched Winamp? And it would say, Winamp. It really whips the llama's ass. Remember that?
I always swore that if we would have had Winamp visualizations back in the day, we would never have, or some people who tried them would never have done drugs.
Oh, I say the opposite. The people who did drugs would have done a lot more drugs.
So I'm in church running the audio visio system, and the pastor has a video he wants to play, and we elect to play it in Winamp. And so during the sermon, I launch Winamp off to the screen so that nobody can see it, but it launches up, and while he's talking, he says, Winamp, it really whips the llama's ass.
No way, dude.
Yeah.
No. I don't remember Winamp doing that.
Yep. That was one of the, like when you launched it, it had several things that it said, and that was one of them.
At least it was llama. It wasn't like the sheep or something that was relevant to the, you know, Sunday morning mass.
But the whole, you know, 700 people turned and looked to the back of the booth. It was one of those.
And there's Mark pointing at the guy next to him doing the soundboard. It's like, that guy.
All I could do was laugh about
That's funny, Mark. I used to put the words up on the wall for our church. We had 3 projectors mounted in the auditorium, and that was my job. I put the words on the wall.
Well, that's what happens when you're the guy who's not afraid of computers.
Yeah.
You get to do that job.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what? We're an hour, 15 minutes in. We've had just such a wide-ranging discussion. I think we should just stop right there with an app that is great for designers, great and small. I mean, it's possible you can do anything, so it's just perfect. You can design DNA and you know, go from there.
Right. Well, the last thing I just want to throw out there, it's not an app. It is now happened. It is now true. It is now inevitable. A company by the name of, oh man, sorry. Did I have the wrong? I did have the wrong link. Sorry. A company by the name of Nubia, which I can't say I heard of, launched the first phone out there with 10 gigs of RAM. We knew it was coming. We knew it was inevitable. This is a gaming phone by Nubia, N-U-B-I-A, literally 10 gigs of RAM. So look forward, people, next year we're going to have, you know, the specs are just going to keep going up and up and up and up.
It's not really 10 gigabits. It's 1,000 megabits.
Wouldn't shock me.
Marketing speed.
And it's pretty.
Yeah. As far as gaming phones go, is that an LED bar on the back of it that just changes colors constantly like a keyboard?
That's what it looks like.
I like that. Especially when it's ringing, if that thing just gets super bright and colorful, that would be awesome.
Yeah. And it even has a dual heat pipe cooling system on the inside. Why not? Yeah.
This is the Alienware of phones.
Right.
Good call.
Back before Alienware was bought by Dell. It's the Razer. Razer makes their own phone. Never mind. CM Storm.
Their phone sucks.
Oh, shoot. I shouldn't say CM. That's a dirty word now. Cooler Master Storm, I guess I should say.
All right, so I'm just going to say that's it for this episode. Well, there's so much more that we could have talked about. There were so many. If you thought this was rambling, just think about the things that we held back. And this kind of content, you know, can't be found anywhere else on the internet except every other podcast. But other than that, we bring you unique stuff.
But we were first.
We were the first AAA podcast. Dang it! I just got to say it again. I mean, every week I enjoy being here so much. I was a fan of this show before I got to be a host of the show. I love being here. Dor, Eric, I love you guys. We have never met. We have never breathed the same oxygen, but I consider you great friends, your brothers to me. And I'm just glad to be here. In this time of giving thanks, I am thankful for this show.
Aw, you got to make me go have a drink or something.
And I really wish I would have known, because I would have sent you a bass guitar case a year ago.
Yeah, well. I'm one of those guys that will buy. I will spend thousands of dollars of other people. Will buy anything for myself. Everything I own is falling apart. You know.
Anyway. That's what she said last
time. Yeah. So, Dor, what are your final words of wisdom for our audience tonight?
I'll say a really good friend of mine at work last night died from a massive heart attack.
Oh, man.
Out of the blue. Again, I've said it many times. This is the time of year. Remind people that you're there for them. Look out for people that you care about. Go out of your way to communicate with people because you never know. And like Mark said, I love hanging out with Mark. I love hanging out with Eric. I really miss Steve C. I really miss Dirty Thumbs. I really miss Timster. I really miss Jose Cuervo. Or, you know, I miss Ellis Owens, Jeff Owens, Jonathan Adu, Josh Knucklehead Tech. I always try to communicate with as many people as possible this time of year, because it is the most deadly time of year. Keep reminding people out there that you're thinking about them and that you're worrying about them and that you have them in your thoughts and prayers and minds and hearts and everything else.
Eric, you care to follow that?
Man, I don't know if I can. Just take care of them and take care of yourself, guys. Don't overdo it.
Yeah, this is a deadly time of year between eggnog, cheesecake, and seasonal depression. It is a deadly time of year. I was going to beg for money, but it just seems inappropriate now after Dor was so heartfelt. I'll just say, hey, pay for what you like, people. And thanks for letting me hang out with you. Thanks for joining us here this week on this episode of the Android App Addicts podcast. And thanks to you guys in the YouTube chat room. Always a pleasure. I don't know. Where can they find that Dor? Is it podnotes.com/live? Is that where the link is for that chat room?
Yes. Sure. This is the old school IRC Freenode.
So
chat server.
So we love to have you guys check it out. We record 9 p.m. ish Eastern time on Thursday nights, and we would love to have you in the chat room, trying to distract us, giving us show titles. This is a community affair. It really is. We listen to you. We do this for you. I mean, we could get together, Eric and Dor and I could talk without all this extra stuff, and it'd be a lot easier. We do it because you're here, and we thank you for that. And I guess I will say happy post-Thanksgiving. I hope your tryptophan hangover is finished. And we'll see you next week, because that's it for this episode of Android App Addicts.
My name is Jeff Halish. I am the host of Podnuts, the Computer Repair Podcast, where we take live calls on the air to answer your questions on running and operating your computer repair business every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/computer-repair-podcast-live.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.